Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Hooray! And we are joined by the fabulous Dawn Isaac. You are an RHS Chelsea medal winning garden designer with a specialty in designing family, school and preschool gardens. You're a writer, a broadcaster, author of the fabulous 101 Things for Kids to Do Outside. And you're the horticultural advisor for the award-winning CBeebies show's Mr. Bloom. And you also have three children.
I do.
You're a shouter at the telly. Yes, yeah. That's right.
What particular telly do you like to shout at? What's your...
I have a slight issue with the crafting of things on television.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have to say, although I love her in many, many ways, I shout more at Kirsty Allsop than most.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, what is it? What is it that gets to you?
Do you know what really got to me was when she golden bossed pears?
Oh.
I did lose it slightly at that point.
Are you an anti-pear? Are you allergic to pears? Are you an anti?
Not really. I think I'm just tight.
Right.
It was more the sheer amount of money for golden. There were four. I tell you what, There were four name places at dinner tables. First of all, whoever actually needs.
Speak for yourself. I usually get so drunk at my dinner parties that I can't remember my friend's name, so I find it very handy. I just face them outwards. Yeah.
But maybe you need a golden boss pair with a luggage tack attached.
Wow.
With a name on it. But as I say, I do love her, so I won't. I don't shout at her, and I shout at her in an encouraging way.
You idiot!
Stop putting gold on that.
Yes. So now we're recording the Scummy Mummies podcast today in the countryside. We're almost al fresco, but we're in a lovely kitchen in Cambridgeshire. But usually
we're almost outdoors, but we're inside a building. It's not really almost al fresco.
Okay. Should we crack on into the interview, Ellie?
Let's crack on.
Mm-hmm. You do it. You're
it's fine. Cracking.
Now, you are an award-winning gardener, aren't you? What is a gardener's award ceremony like? I imagine all these people tramping mud through the Dorchester, you know, just generally leaning their spades against the ladies.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I've got one at Chelsea and they give you a medal, except it's not. It's actually a picture of a medal on a piece of card. So, yeah,
that's slightly
disappointing, if I'm honest, is what an award ceremony like for gardeners.
So when did you get into gardening? Because I've got to be honest, I'm not into gardening. And it's not that I actively dislike it. It's never something I've sort of got round to. And I sort of imagine that one day, a bit like liking whiskey and olives, I'll just sort of wake up at a certain age and I'll like gardening. Is that what happened to you, or have you always been into it?
No, I was possibly, it's that thing, isn't it, where you think I should have been into it as a child, and I kind of was, but then gardening was horribly unfair because I was given some seeds to grow in the school marrow growing contest.
Oh.
It was pre-pumpkin days. Mm-hmm. Pumpkins weren't the rage in the 70s, marrows were, and the school would give you two seeds to take home and grow the biggest marrow, and me being hugely competitive, got really into gardening, got my lovely patch ready, sowed these. My brothers just dropped them into the ground and then completely ignored them the first time. And I weeded and I tended and I weeded and I tended and I weeded and tended. And I got nothing because obviously at some point I would have weeded out the seedlings. Yeah. And my brother's got prize winning marrows, and I hated gardening. And I would do some gardening with my parents and for my parents, and then I wasn't very good at plant identification, and I fed them all begonia rather than rhubarb.
Is that bad?
It's, do you know what? My mother makes it sound like it was a bad thing.
Right.
But I would point out that nobody realised it wasn't rhubarb when they were eating it.
Oh. What is begonia? Is it like a poisonous...
No, it's not. Well, no, they would have possibly realised that it's not actually poisonous, but it is actually just a sort of, you know, ornamental perennial plant.
Right.
But it has, I think, essence of rhubarb to it.
So did you actually grow up in the countryside? Were you...
No, a kind of, you know, a town. We had a nice garden, though, so that's, you know, it had the whole kind of the good life vibe going on.
Yeah.
You know, we had chickens and fruit trees and... so, yes, it was a very kind of good life. It was all kind of, you know, raspberries to pick and lots of berries to pick and a rhubarb patch and all that sort of stuff, a nice big lawn.
Sounds not unlike my own childhood, which many consisted of going down to Sydenham Woods, picking the blackberries that were high enough that dogs couldn't wee on them.
That's
basically what I grew up with as well. So I feel like we're very kindred spirits, really, in terms of life experience. So these days you specialise in family gardens and sort of preschool gardens and something. And was that something you were interested in before you had children, or did that...
Well, no, I was interested in gardening, obviously, and then children have this tendency to sort of come along and, you know,
stomp ruin everything
on your life.
Yes.
And I thought...
You end up doing podcasts about them and everything.
Exactly.
Oh, nightmare.
It's a sort of, you know, if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
And you're not really supposed to beat them. So I kind of thought, right, I'll bring these two things in my life together.
They're hanging around anyway.
They're there.
Yeah.
Might as well make use of them. And I thought, that's it. I will... be the woman you talk to about kids and gardening, I thought.
So what do you think makes a good family garden?
I think it's the key is family. It's not a children's garden, it's a family garden. So it's a bit of space for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed, I would have told you it would be like my garden, but you two have just come straight in.
Yeah, I saw the flapjacks on the table.
Had a cup of tea and haven't actually even asked to go and look at the garden.
We're al fresco.
You don't want to actually be outside or anything.
Well, I said, Ellie, we're going to record a podcast like in a garden. She said, how are we going to do it outside? I was like, oh no, we're doing it in the house, but she's got a garden. That is not the same.
I've got a garden. That's,
you know, space for everyone. So I've got a children's play area, for example.
Swing ball.
No.
That's what makes a good family garden.
Sorry, no. Swings, playhouse, sandpit, all that sort of stuff. But it's also slightly sunken, so you don't actually have to see it from... everywhere.
Oh, that's nice.
I've got a trampoline, but it's sunken in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't actually see it.
So it's not like a big carbuncle.
Yeah.
The,
so everything's there, but it's not, it doesn't scream, it's all about the kids.
Mm.
And it's like there's a lovely sort of seating area and a gazebo that's next to the children's play area, so you can drink while supervising them.
Oh,
this is key.
That is,
Ellie and I want to talk about our gardens. We both live in South East London. And so my garden has... some junk left over from the previous owners, which is just like a big tin with old paint cans in it, and an old sculpture that's fallen down, a lot of leaves and some pots with weeds in them, which is very nice. And an enormous trampoline that takes up most of the that is above ground. So that's my garden. And Ellie, you've got a lovely
Got a shed.
You've got a shed.
A wicked shed.
Yeah.
That we bought, that's sort of almost as big as our house. And it was really nice. We've got a lovely neighbour, and he's got quite a big shed, but we bought this shed that was a bit bigger than we sort of realised when we ordered it. And he just came out into our garden and went, and he's Australian as well, actually, he went, yeah, nice shed, Pete. I don't feel emasculated at all. So I'm quite proud of the shed. But yeah, apart from that, we've got a pile of roofing tiles, some really crappy old decking that my husband's solution for, I was like, you know, maybe we could strip it back or we could, you know, and he's like, oh, I'm going to hoover it. I was like, what? And he's like, well, that's why it's so dirty and grubbly. It's got all these little, it's got sand, isn't it, in the sandpit. It would just hoover up the sand. And I was just like, oh, God. So that's the sort of...
Yeah.
We're quite urban, let's say that. Mm. So, I mean, I suppose I'm asking what should I do, Dawn? How do I motivate myself? Where do you start?
I think you start from working out what you're prepared to do, because there's no point you growing things that need, obviously, any care or attention.
Yeah.
So not, just, you know, just pave it over.
Going to get it.
Just
no,
pave it over.
No, but you plant things that need almost no care and attention.
Grass.
Because if you plant something else, it's not a weed, and you've nicked the weed space. So that's a good start.
That's a good tip.
Mm. In the technical terms, we're calling that ground cover.
Ground cover. I'm writing it down.
That's ground cover.
So what a good ground cover plant.
Ground cover. Oh no, you would like this one. Alcamilla mollis. Alcamilla mollis. You don't need...
I'll write it phonetically.
Yeah. Or lady's mantle. I'm going to give you the easy terms now. Lady's nice. Mantle.
Ladies.
And
mantle.
It's got little ruff-like flowers, a bit like an Elizabethan courtier. Which is very nice, but you'll like it because actually the fairies use it to collect their dewdrops.
Oh, God.
Oh, the lovely.
The dewdrops sit on the leaves.
Oh, heaven.
And actually it's got
and
very
so does
fluffy.
The dog piss.
Yes. We don't need to think about that. And then you've got some lovely sort of floaty throffy. I'm doing your hand gesture.
Yes,
here.
You are. Look.
Throffy.
Goodbye, sun.
Sort of acid cream flowers.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they're very cool and they're very good in cut flowers, so it's nice. You can dump those in a vase with like one... like bit from the bulb that's growing that you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And then you've got a beautiful, you know, you've put your own flowers on the table, cut from the garden.
This is lovely.
So that's good. That's a good one.
Mm.
What you really want though is total no maintenance plants. So if you've got like pots and stuff, you want to put in things like sempervivums and things like sedums because they're sort of succulents and they kind of, you can, there's a sempervivum that a biologist tried to dry for his collection.
Mm-hmm.
And because you want to press them, sort of, you know, show this is a great example of this fabulous plant. 18 months he tried, and it still wasn't dried out, so he chucked it out and it started growing again. That is the sort of plant you need.
Hardy, that's what I need.
Hardy plants.
Sort of,
Just
almost like a triffid, just unkillable.
Yes, basically. So they're very good. They look lovely in, you know, people plant them in loads of stuff. Hen and chicks, I think they're called in the States quite often.
The little
baby ones come off them all the time. But you can, like, old shoes, bits of rubbish, and I'm not looking at you too pointed at this point, but in your garden that you want to sort of replant, you put those in them and things.
Oh, this is lovely.
Well, sedum, you'd like that. My favourite plant, only because of its name, actually. But it's another one, you know, a sedum acre that you don't need to try too hard on. Its common name was Welcome Home Husband, Though Never So Drunk.
Perfect. Yeah, I love this is like scummy gardener's question time. Lazy people. Just to ask another, just go back to my garden. This is just me asking about my garden.
Yeah.
But
you're just getting a free garden consultation.
Basically,
aren't you?
It's just for my personal use.
That's it.
But yeah, so say I think, right, I'm going to get me ground cover. I'm going to go and get me fairy flowers, whatever nonsense.
The drunk husband coming home.
Yeah. Yes. How do I get rid of the weeds? Do you just tank weed? With children, it's difficult, isn't it? Can you just tank weed killer down? Or...
To be honest, and now this is going to get rid, there's another word you need to write down.
It's not
good, right, as a word, but I quite like it. Oh. It's mulch.
Oh.
Mulch. Ooh. You want to mulch.
Mm-hmm.
You want to mulch the bejeebies out of your garden.
Yes.
I want to mulch it within an inch of its life.
You do. So basically... There's two types of weed. This is going to get... I'm actually going to give you proper information here.
I like
there's a
it,
perennial.
Yeah.
It keeps coming back. And it's growing from its roots and it comes back and comes back and comes
it's
back.
Not what like the midwife, it's not what the midwife sews up, is it?
And then you get... No, it's not. It's nearly as painful if it's all over the garden. But in a psychological rather than... Loads of weeds are annual weeds. So they're just weed seeds and they're there. And the moment you turn the soil, when you think you've done a great job, you turn the soil, brilliant, it's looking lovely. All you've done is turn over and load more weed seeds. They've suddenly got light and they all start into growth.
Yeah.
So what you do instead is you put a thick layer of something like... a sort of spent mushroom compost. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Spent mushroom compost or something
lovely.
Like. Over the top, nice thick layer. No longer get any light in. Keeps all the moisture there, so you don't have to bother watering your garden either.
Mm-hmm.
And no annual weeds coming up. It's brilliant. Oh. And it improves your soil and it feeds your soil and that's all you need to do.
And that's it. No
gardening
need.
Done.
It's the least sexy bit, but most effective bit of
mulch. No need to tank out the bleach, which is almost always my temptation.
Probably not. Oh,
that's a good beginner's guide, though. I think, because stuff does grow in my garden very prolifically, like a tiny little pink flower that's just kind of goes everywhere, but that's not very nice. So I'll...
Stuff does grow despite your best efforts.
I know.
I remember I had to pick Helen up a couple of weeks ago and I walked through our front garden and it was like, honestly, I thought there'd been some sort of hurricane. There was just great big swathes of fallen crops
everywhere. I'd been attacking the buddleia.
Had you?
Yes.
I don't blame you.
great big hacking thing. I think I was quite premenstrual. Anyway, something was making me want to get rid of half of the buddleia tree. And I just went, hunk, 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 and cut it back. And then there was a pile about as big as our car, wasn't there? Next to the Saab estate, there was a pile of branches.
But the other great thing about gardens, you see, is you just find two or three things that you grow well that light your garden, then divide them.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
If it's like a perennial.
Perennial, not, yes, yes. Good, yes.
I'll... If it's like a perennial, herbaceous perennial. See, I've thrown another word in there. But basically, one that doesn't look like a buddleia. It's not all got woody bits.
Yeah.
That you can kind of pull apart. You can almost cut it up and pull it apart. As long as it's got a bit of root, a bit of shoot.
Yeah.
Those are all new plants for no money.
Mm-hmm.
So just find like three things that grow really well that you like. Mm-hmm. And then every spring or autumn, chop them up. And then you fill the whole garden with just them.
Like a hydrangea?
No.
Right, okay. exciting. Yeah. Anyway. So
if you think, right, I'm going to sort out my garden, where is a good place to start? Because I listened to it already before, and I listened to Gardeners Question Time, and honestly, they might as well be talking about, you know, space travel. I really have no idea what's going on.
It is difficult because I think this is where there's a missing link. Really? I would probably say talk to children, because actually children are the only ones getting basic gardening en masse in this country, because school gardening, there's about 4 million kids doing gardening at school now.
Oh, my son does like to water the plants in his own special way. Yes, so
yeah, that he could do that on a compost heap, and it would actually act as an accelerant. I'm just going to point that out.
My parents have a compost heap. This is my mum's quite into gardening. My dad saves like the big 4-pint milk things and keeps them in the loo, so that in the morning he doesn't get bothered to go out to the garden. He does a wee in the milk thing. And then that would be sort of, all right, fair enough. But then he just leaves it there in the toilet. And when visitors come round, he likes to parade the gallon of urine in its plastic container around the dinner table. Look at that! Look, that's 3 days, that is. 3 days!
There's nothing else we can do except make that noise.
Yes.
Yeah, so he listens to this podcast, and please don't encourage him. Please don't. I can't look at my father's urine
anymore. Well, someone said you should wee outside so the foxes don't come into your garden as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that that would work.
I think it's just like me making up excuses for doing a whiz in the garden.
I think you're supposed to wee on the foxes. Wee in their eye. That was
But I say the one thing about gardening is most things want to grow. You know, it's kind of changing your attitude to not being scared by gardening and just giving it a shot. And the main thing is just find out where they're happy. You know, every plant's got a happy place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mine is Waitrose. Some plants like sun. Some plants like shade. Some like it wet. Some like it dry. So the main thing is read up on it. And also, in general, if a plant is cheap, it means it grows really, really easily. Never spend a lot of money on a plant or a bulb. The more money you spend, the more prima donna-ish they are.
Oh.
You don't want high maintenance.
No. You just want cheap and cheerful.
Cheap and cheerful. Oh. You put it in and it does its job.
Yeah.
And as he said, it does its business. That sounded so wrong. I pulled back from that. But yeah, plants are, you know, you can get some alliums. They're great. They're lovely. They're like a massive purple ball on a stick. They're brilliant. They look terribly sophisticated and really fabulous. But you can get some alliums. Cost you £3.
Yeah, I mean, because when I go to Lidl for my weekly shop, they have lots of lovely plants. I think I just get one a week and I can build up the garden.
Yeah, although that does slightly scare me. The old supermarkets flogging plants.
Yeah,
why is that?
Well, unless you buy it the day they go in. Well, for starters, an awful lot of them, and this is quite a fundamental thing, put them inside the shop.
Yes, yeah.
Now, you know, horticulture 101, what do plants need?
Al fresco. That's
fresco.
What they need.
Little bit of sun. you don't really want to be buying too much there. Seeds, different. Seeds fine. Seeds that's good. Right. Seeds cheap and cheerful. Very good.
Okay, so we've cracked that nut. Go forth and garden, dear listeners.
Do it.
Do it now. So we're coming up to our next section, Ellie, which is called
Book Chat! Yeah, so, well, we used to call the book section, I've read a book. but let's call it, Dawn, you've written a book!
I have!
It's almost more impressive. Tell us about your book, Dawn.
Yes, it is 101 Things for Kids to Do Outside, which was, basically me getting the kids to be in the garden with me.
Excellent.
It comes from a totally selfish place.
And did you do 101 things as the title first and then go, right, this is the challenge?
You got to about number 67 and thought, oh, God.
Yeah, no, it was a really stupid thing to say, actually. No, I put it in. No, I put in the proposal.
100's not good enough.
101 things, brilliant, that sounds great. There's loads of stuff. Everyone will think that's a really good number. And then I think I'd got to about writing up number 58 or something. And it became a daily thing. And I keep turning to my husband going, Ruben, how does 58 things for kids to do outside? I mean, that's kind of got a little bit of, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like number 42. Yeah. It's got that comedic value, doesn't it? Yeah. Doesn't it? Doesn't that sound good?
69, that's a funny number.
That is a funny number. Right. I thought I'd cracked it. 83, for some reason, I thought 83 was good. And I thought, graphically.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
That had a nice roundness going on.
But the publisher said, you promised me 101.
Oh. But this is fantastic. We've got the book here. I'm just having a flick through.
Do it audibly, Ellie.
Yes. There's all sorts of things here. So there's games, there's like pavement games you can play with sort of chalk on the patio, and there's water balloon stuff, and then, you know, making stuff out of plants, making baskets and jewellery and all sorts.
There is, and it was kind of, because kids are, you know what kids are like, if you're going to say go outside, they're going to be in a different mood, a different age, got different interests. The idea was there should be no child that couldn't find some stuff in there to interest them and could not whinge and say, I've got nothing to do outside.
Yeah.
Which is really the plan. But also it was writing it. What I did have the biggest fight on was actually I wanted to write it so the kids could read it.
Right.
Because the whole point to me is my childhood, the best bits happened when your parents weren't involved.
Mm. Yeah.
So the fact that you can give them this book and say, it's for you, there you go, there's some post-it notes. Yeah. Mark a few things.
Yeah. Mummy's going to bed with a bottle of Merlot.
Why?
Knock yourself out.
Well, there are quite a lot of books out there which are kind of, let's all go out as a lovely family and be outdoors and let's whittle something from a log. And it always seems to, it's written for the parents of, like, you know, quite frankly, the kids who probably are out there all the time anyway, because their parents force them to be out there, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, and what I like about the book is there's things that you probably could do in 5 minutes.
Yes.
Or things you could spend a whole day, or, you know, you've got...
It's, as I say, it's covering all the bases. It's stopping the excuses before they begin.
Yeah, and it's seasonal. You've got, what was it, snow lanterns.
Oh, I love the snow lanterns.
It was very pretty. And then obviously autumnal things.
And you like this one, don't you, Helen? The make outdoor bunting. Helen loves bunting.
I do. I love that. Well,
I know. There's bunting hanging in the kitchen, and there was also bunting, mini bunting on your tea cosy. Oh.
There is. There's bunting on the outdoor wheelbarrow. There's bunting in the greenhouse. There's bunting on the kids' playhouse. There's bunting in my daughter's room. There's bunting in my son's room. My other son is possibly getting bunting for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We quite like bunting.
Yeah.
But you know what? There is not. What's really distressing for me, because obviously make outdoor bunting, it's from coloured plastic bags. It's great. It works. It's outside. In fact, it's still on my shed outside. And I love that idea. And when we did the front cover, I said, can we have bunting on the front cover? And I was heartbroken because apparently, and did you know this, bunting is not international.
Is that right?
Yes, it is, because...
Great. I'm emigrating.
Because that's why, as an Australian, you come to England and you just go, oh, bunting. Oh, well, I did.
So when they publish it in other countries, which they have done, it is international. Yeah.
In 104 countries?
No, which is rather disappointing. But in Hungary, and there's a French version, there's a German version.
I was hoping you were going to say that, like, in some countries, bunting is considered highly offensive. Like in Spain. Bunting is absolutely, it's like getting your willy out at a wedding. It's just not socially acceptable.
They put it up when there's been a death in the family. Yes. It's a shame. Do not visit this house. The bunting is up.
Oh no, look, they got the bunting at number 42. They got a plague. They got a plague. They got a plague bunting up. I don't know why the Spanish sound like they're from Somerset. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, so you're allowed to do an accent. Fine.
That wasn't, but what do we say, Helen? What's the catchphrase?
If it's white, it's all right.
Correct!
There we go.
Excellent. That's the rule for accents on the Scary Mo's podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation.
Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
One of the things I liked was the intro, Dawn, to the book where you've put, this book is for kids who like TV, movies, popcorn, lying in bed, rolling in baths, hanging upside down off the sofa for no good reason and staying in pyjamas all day. Now that is a pretty accurate description of my son.
Yes.
Do you have days with your three kids where you do just sit in pyjamas?
God, yeah, that's the pyjama days, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Do we not all?
Yes, we do. That's why we're going,
oh. Yeah, because this book is filled with beautiful pictures of your own children rolling around in mud and leaves, and that's lovely. But, you know, I just want to make sure that they also are shoving marshmallows in watching Finding Nemo for the 15th time.
Yeah. We're not a big outdoorsy family, but this is the point, because if you're an outdoorsy family, why do you need a book? But what I do is we'll have pyjama days, obviously, but then usually one day a weekend we have screen free before 3. So, yeah, because then we do not have the screens on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we're outside all the time. Sometimes we're inside doing stuff, but it's just there's less. They get longer to get into stuff, and sometimes that will involve being out doing stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of things in the book as well aren't about, you know, step one, do this, step two, do that. It's not prescriptive. It's about, right, set up a mud pie kitchen. I mean, you start there, but where kids take it, who knows? I mean, we have a mud pie
kitchen.
They could
end up with a franchise. They could own like a nationwide chain of mud pies.
They could.
That's how Nando started.
You can see its roots as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, they create an entire world. I mean, kids are creative people, so it's only just to get them going, a lot of these ideas they'll then take and do with it what they will.
A technique for getting kids out of the door or kids outside, my friend's mum told me the other day, is that in the summertime she used to just chuck the kids out the door and lock the doors and stay inside and say, you have to be outside. I haven't done that yet, but I can see the appeal if you've got a big sprawling garden.
That was in fact going to be, literally was going to be the idea 101.
Yeah.
But yeah. I have a friend who had said that's exactly what her mother did.
Yeah.
And she used to go down the road and watch telly at her friend.
She ended up being raised by wolves. And she's now very weird.
So as sensible as that might sound, kids, as I say, are terribly creative.
They are.
So they will find a way around that.
Yeah, my kids are just, because I live in a cul-de-sac that's all very lovely and hippie, and my kids will just walk across the road if they're not watching telly at ours and find a telly that's on in the neighbour's house. Or neighbours will come to our house because they know the TV's on a lot of the time. And come and watch. So my mum won't let me watch this TV, but you do. I was like, aye,
whoopsie. Of these 101 things, what are your own kids? What are their favourite things to do outside?
Difficult to say. The one we probably have done the most is the bear hunt, which is the most basic thing in there.
Which is where you put the teddy bears.
Where you hide their teddy bears and any soft toys around the house. But they would play that for hours. I personally really like, and they do this with me, is the solar powered oven from a cardboard box.
Oh, right, now explain what that is.
So it's basically part science experiment, part snack. So it's good.
I love being able to eat science. That
exactly. So you get a big cardboard box, big box, little box. Mm-hmm. You get a little box, that a shoe box, which you paint or cover with black. And then you put that in the bigger box, but you're surrounding it with lots of bunched up newspaper. What's the word I'm looking for?
Insulation.
Insulation. That's excellent. Your insulation. Great. Layer, right? Keeps all the heat in. And then you put a lid on that's got a clear top to it. So the sun comes in and it heats up, but there's nowhere for it to escape. And the heat is trapped and the black absorbs the heat. And then you put frozen cookie dough, slices of that in the bottom.
Or a few chicken drumsticks, presumably.
Probably not chicken. I'm just going to put that out there now as a safety issue. Not chicken. What about your first suggestion is the only one that could probably kill children.
About a Fray Bentos steak and ale pie.
Well, you can heat things up quite well. But yeah, then it cooks in a couple of hours. It cooks cookies. Just with the power of the sun.
That's amazing. Does it really work?
Yeah, really works.
Wow. In this country.
In this very country.
I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah.
It's a Fray Bentos pie.
Do a human sundial. That's quite good as well. So
you get a dead body.
Kids just stand for 12 hours.
No, but they have to go out once every hour. So.
Oh, and then mark it.
Then they mark it. Well, they put little stones down and they stand on the central stone. So they have to see where their shadow hits each hour.
This is you're opening up new doors and new worlds to me.
But then again, also, they particularly like things like Splash, which is, again, world's simplest game. Whereas one's got a big bucket of water, and then they're thinking of a number, and the other people stand in a line, each saying a number between 1 and 10 until somebody says the number they were thinking of.
That's a genius.
And then they throw water in their face.
Sounds like a fun time. So where can people get your book or find out more about it?
Well, Hungary, as we've discussed.
Yes.
French Canada. it's on the A Word, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah. And you've got a blog as well.
I do, yes. littlegreenfingers.com.
Well, I would say go get the book now. It's fantastic.
Okay. So now we've held back on this. We've tried to be professional and, you know, talk about gardening. But really, Dawn, we know that we're rubbing shoulders with someone who has rubbed shoulders with quite a big name.
He
isn't
is.
That right, Helen?
I know. I'm trying not to flick my hair and giggle at the
flick your hair. Sorry.
Mr. Bloom.
Mr. Bloom doesn't really do it for me, but he does it for you, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's lovely. Because when I look at the screen and he goes, hello, and I
it's right, it's all right.
I'm not sure what that was. Hello. What is that?
I have been known to blush at the TV when it's his lovely eyes and his little jaunty, trilby hat.
Crinkly, yeah.
So well,
I'm sure he's a very nice man, but I don't find him that sexually exciting, which I'm sure will be very sad to hear.
Well, I'm sure there's websites devoted to it. How
there is. He's got a big Mumsnet. Yeah. I'm sure I read a Mumsnet discussion about, his erotic qualities.
I think we should be a bit more clear about who we're talking about. So Mr. Bloom is a fabulous television show about a man who's in an allotment. You describe it. You are basically the brain's trust of this show.
Well, they got me in at the start because, you know, as these things go, we're going to do a gardening programme and absolutely nobody knew anything about gardening. But that is fine.
Yes.
That we can get over. We've got a great concept.
Yeah.
We've got a man.
We've got a puppet that looks like a turnip. Boom, let's go.
Well, it began life because Ben, who plays Mr. Bloom, would go round as Mr. Bloom to schools with vegetables in nappies.
Ah. Mm. Now, was that something did they invite him to do that? Or was
that is the next
weird
question.
That's it.
It has that kind of, kids theatre legs akimbo group kind of going on, isn't it? But no, it was a great concept for kids who didn't know where vegetables came from, anything like that, just to get them.
Yeah.
Well, they were petting vegetables in nappies. It all sounds so wrong.
Yeah.
This is coming
I just had a vision of an 8-year-old breastfeeding a carrot. I feel a bit funny now.
So that was the concept, but then they ran with it.
Yeah.
Big time.
Who got to name the vegetables? Was that a workshop? How did Colin the runner bee
I never got involved, sadly, with the naming of them. Colin was a undiscovered star. I could see the appeal of Colin. Mm. They thought that the radishes were going to steal the show, and I could tell
you. The cheeky McGregors.
The cheeky wee McGregors. But no, I knew it would be Colin.
Yeah.
Bean!
So for the international listeners out there, we are listened to in 104 countries. If you don't know about Mr. Bloom, it is a wonderful television show. And I think award-winning now as well.
It is award-winning. And it's really amazing from a gardening perspective what is covered with small children.
Mm. What is he like in real life?
Very lovely, very softly spoken, with no hint of a West Country accent. I know! Helen, he's putting it on!
He's a magician.
Sometimes people on the telly are pretending to be the people that they're on the telly as. They're not really like
you've
that.
You've heard it first.
Yeah.
That and Google advice.
That's extraordinary. Amazing. Oh, wow. So where is he actually from? Where does he live?
What's his address?
What cafes does he like to hang out in?
Well,
see, I'm flicking my hair now.
You are.
Now I'm blushing.
You've got bright red.
Oh, God. He's become, because it's now gone on to Country Fire for the Under Fives was how it's on. And the vegetables are no more.
Oh, where did puppets go?
Where have they gone?
I know.
Oh, no, they've withered and died, this is children.
It's like Toy Story 3.
And it was a bit of a worry, though. It was a bit of a worry because when we first did the programme, we were thinking, the kids are going to stop eating vegetables because they're just going to go, I don't want to eat Sebastian.
No,
Margaret. I love Colin. But kids seem to be able to amazingly distinguish between a talking puppet and, in fact, the food on their plate.
Children are able to understand there's a difference between television and reality. That's a key developmental milestone.
There we go. Well, that's lovely, Mr. Bloom.
Yeah, we love Mr. Bloom.
Well, that's very nice. Can I give Dawn my gift now?
Please do.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. So
I've made you a gift.
Oh, look at that.
It's a Liberty Print lavender bag, which I hand sewed. So it's something that represents outside that you can keep inside.
That's important.
Yeah, yeah.
We wouldn't want to actually be alfresco.
No, that's it. It's like a metaphor because you smell so nice.
Don't do that.
Just because she knows this, you can't get to him through her.
Stop sniffing me.
How did you know she was going to smell nice before we got here?
I'm very tired. I got up very early this morning.
Really?
I didn't mean to say that. I meant you're a nice person. I made you a gift. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there you are, Dawn. That's yours to keep until we've gone.
Sell it at the village fate. There we go.
So what's our next section then?
I've entitled this Getting Dirty Outside, A Walk in the Lady Garden. So I thought we've talked about wholesome things, about getting children outside and getting parents. But I thought, let's just get a bit dirty and talk about what we've done outside that's, not so wholesome.
Mm.
So I want to talk about my sort of first dirty encounter outside, which was my first kiss. I did alfresco at school and I went and kissed a boy behind a bush and I was, having my first tongue kiss. And then all of a sudden a chicken leapt out at us and surprised us both. But that was my...
Wow, I really wish I'd grown up in country Australia.
Yeah,
sometimes.
So that's what it was like.
I thought you were saying he was Italian Australian. His name was Al Fresco.
That's right. So that was my first dirty encounter outside.
My dirty outside story is when I was at university, me and one of my very good friends, let's call him John because that's his name. I won't say which John. I had two very good John friends at university, so I won't say which one it was, and then that's not giving it away. Me and my friend John, we always used to walk back from when we'd been out drinking because we were very cheap students, and obviously we'd always need a wee on the way home. And so to make things a bit more exciting and interesting, what we started doing is we set up a little competition to see who could wee outside the most university buildings. And it was like bingo. So the idea was that you had to wee outside every single building on the campus.
Yeah,
so we'd do the law building on a Thursday night, and then we'd do English literature on a Friday, biology on a Saturday. And we got quite far with it. It got quite competitive and quite serious. So
101 things for students to do outside.
Yeah. No, obviously that's pretty disgusting. But, Dawn, we were actually helping the environment.
There wasn't actually a compost heap there, was there?
Well, there was... Often it was on a tree or...
You were not trying to cut... No.
No.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, man.
But it was biodegradable, so...
Exactly.
In fact, there it already had biodegraded.
We never did number two, so that's...
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you for
classy.
Clarifying that.
No problem. Anything else you want to know about it? Happy to speak out.
That's it.
No, let's move on.
Yeah, okay.
Dawn, do you like to get dirty outside?
Because I do.
No, I mean... Yes, I'm slightly stumped by this, obviously, having never done anything remotely dirty outside. I did, this cat, I used to eat soil. Does that count?
Ooh, there we go. That'll do. That's
pretty, may or may not have been weed on by somebody. Yes. That's what I'm thinking, though. Yeah.
Was this at university?
You were spinning the roulette wheel. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah. Was this as a child? Or?
As a child, I ate a lot. Mm. But even now, you know... You accidentally get a bit of...
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
taking
you
back.
Do you like it?
I do.
Do you?
I do, like soil.
Oh, that is dirty.
No, I know.
And weird.
Both things at the same time.
I was just like, drunk student antics. You like, you eat soil. That's so weird.
It's really nice. I mean, to be fair, I've always lived in a place with good soil.
Oh, thank you. That was, yeah, that's proper dirty. I like that. That's good.
Excellent.
Well, while we're in a confessional sort of frame of mind, Helen, should we do our Scummy Mummy confessions?
We should. I love this section. Now, we've asked the listeners to send in their Scummy Mummy outside confessions.
Alfresco.
Alfresco. Let's get that in. On plein air. And we've got two. So we thought we'd read them out, and then Dawn, you can pick the winner, and they'll win a book that you're going to give us.
Yes, that's right. I am.
Is it your own? It's just something she's got lying around. I finished that Jilly Cooper. They can have that. It's your own book, isn't it?
Millie Molly Mandy. That's right. You can have that. So this one comes from Maria Conyard. She said, I overheard Annie, who was at the time recently crawling, making a very satisfied yum noise one afternoon. I investigated. She was tucking into one of those massive browny yellow slugs.
Mm.
But tucking in, I don't mean picking it up, the unfortunate creature, and licking it, or even just putting it in her mouth. She was biting and chewing and swallowing.
Oh, come on.
Ugh. It was not good.
No, it's not good, Maria. That's, that's a lot of detail.
Oh,
poor Maria, poor Annie. That is... Oh.
They're big, those slugs. They can get them like the size of your hand. And, and they've got that weird, almost fluorescent orangeness.
And they really do have. There's a sliminess to them. I know because I wore one as a moustache. And they really are very...
Have you been having photos with Annie Leibovitz by any chance?
No. No, but I did do... I've done Movember twice now.
Okay.
And when I do Movember, I set myself the challenge of a different moustache every day that must be from something found either in the home or the garden.
I like
and
this.
And accessorised as such.
Oh.
And they are very... They don't stick either, actually. That had to be done lying down to take the photo. Snails, differently. Slippery. Snails are, in fact, self-clinging, because I did snails, which also wasn't good.
Oh.
Because actually, you should never, and I don't believe I should really have to say this, but you should never actually try to wear snails as a moustache. So, and then I stuck, well, I thought, to be fair to me, I did actually think I couldn't find any snails, I could only find empty shells, so I stuck these four or five little empty shells on to do the picture, accessorised with the beret and stripy top, obviously, and onions.
And, if it's white, it's all right.
Just taking a selfie, because this was the only way to obviously record my moustaches. I was taking my selfie, and I started having to take it really rapidly, because the snails woke up. And snails like it damp and dark. So obviously, from where they were going, they were heading straight up my nostrils.
No.
And I have pictures.
I'm getting a wrath of calm.
I actually have a picture of snails rapidly heading off my tash towards my nose.
Yoy.
Oh, that is worse than eating the soil. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. Wow.
Now, Ellie, the next one.
Yes. This confession comes all the way from Kelly in Namibia. Hello, Kelly. Hello, Namibia.
Yes.
Very exciting. Now, Kelly says, we had just moved to Africa with our 18-month-old and 3-year-old. Everything was super expensive, especially nappies, so I changed the wet ones less often. My 18-month-old son wandered outside to play with the neighbour's kids. His nappy was very droopy, and I had thought to change it, but got distracted chatting to my neighbour. After a while, my neighbour heard her house phone ringing, and as she was running to answer it, she stepped in some poo. I think I know where this is going.
Yes, yes.
She looked annoyed and she immediately blamed our other neighbour's dog. I tutted in agreement and realised after a few minutes that my son had actually done a poo in his nappy, but because it was so droopy, it had just fallen out of the side. Oh, yeah. I still blamed the dog and never confessed to her it was my son's poo. Well, Cully, you just have. So we've actually emailed your neighbour specifically to listen to this podcast, and you're going to have to move. So yeah. Thank you. Oh, poor Cully. That's,
oh, dear.
Now, Dawn, do we have a winner?
Do you know what?
Slug or poo, slug or poo,
slug or poo. Slug, I mean, it's a constant question in my mind, slug or poo. But I think from a gardening perspective, I'm just going to have to go for the slug.
She's going for the slug.
Maria Conyard. And thank you, because it would have cost a fortune to sell that to Namibia.
I was really hoping you'd say that, to be honest. It's a massive relief.
Maria is actually coming to one of our live shows. We'll just hand it to her then. Save on postage. Great.
Yeah, and that way she has to come to the show now. So. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Maria. Congratulations. Sorry, Kelly. You know, maybe try and get your child to eat something disgusting, and next time you might win.
Now, should we do our own scummy mummy confession?
My confession is not dissimilar. The other night we were having dinner and, you know, we were saying, what did you do at nursery today? And Charlie said, me and Sam were monsters. Yes, we were floor monsters. And I said, oh, what does a floor monster do? And he said, we all the food has fallen on the floor. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Made a friend. That's lovely.
The nursery stuff must love them.
Dawn, do you have a scummy confession for us?
We used to live in the delightful Shepherd's Bush / White City. Basically, that means it's White City because Shepherd's Bush sounds a bit nicer. But and I was in the upstairs room in the office, looking out the window as I was doing my designs on the drawing board, and I sort of noticed, as you would, because it's quite hard to miss, two people in my front garden, one inexplicably on crutches and using his crutch to poke my compost heap. So I opened the window and, in the way only English people can, said, excuse me, can I help you? Because obviously that's not what I was thinking in my head, but it's the only way I can talk.
I want to be polite in this situation. Now, Brett, let me just get the etiquette book out. What to say if someone is poking your compost heap with a crutch? Ah, yes. Excuse me.
Can I help you? And they said, yeah, we were standing outside your house and the police went by, so we threw our drugs into your front garden. And we're a bit concerned that we've lost them in your compost heap.
Because it's very English that they've just told you this. That there was no sort of, ah, yes, now you'll see what we're doing. It's very simple.
Totally,
it's a very reasonable explanation
totally
for all this.
Understandable.
The drugs, you see, and the police, and, oh, nightmare.
Such a to-do.
Oh, God.
Which was odd enough in itself. But then they said, if you find them, I wonder if you could let us know. And they proceeded to leave with me their name, address, and telephone number.
Did they have, like a business card, like, Robert, drug dealer extraordinaire? That's amazing. And it didn't occur to them that you might, you know, phone the police and say, just so you know, I've got the phone number and address of some drug dealers.
Do you know what the really bad thing is? I don't think it even occurred to me. It would have seemed a terribly impolite thing to do.
I can't seem to find their drugs. I'll let them down.
No, I'm going to have to refer to Debrett's. No. Yes, thank you very much. I'll pop it on the notice board and give you a shout if the heroin turns up. So did you ever find the drugs?
I didn't. It was a very big compost heap.
Yes, I bet it was. Well, that is sunflowers. Yes. Must have been amazing.
That's right.
So no, sadly, we never did find it.
Oh, but so there's probably still, so somewhere in
that's
this garden
my story.
In White City.
Never found, never found them.
And it was about this time you became addicted to eating soil. How strange.
It just made me feel so calm.
Yes. Oh, well, that's a lovely story. Thank you very much for sharing, Dawn. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We're sort of at the end, aren't we?
We are. So thank you for hosting us in your lovely house in the countryside.
Alfresco.
Alfresco.
Or not. Or indoors. Not.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. Do get in contact with us at scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
You can join us on the Facebook. We're also on the Twitter at Scummy Mummies.
Mm-hmm. And come to one of our live shows. Just look at our website, scummymummies.com, and click on the live show button. We're touring around the country until Ellie coughs one out.
Yes, that's right. Or I have a baby, whichever happens first. thank you so much for being a lovely guest, Dawn Isaac.
Thank you. Yes.
Let's go and eat soil.
Yeah. Hooray! Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. And yeah, wherever you are in the world, you can get it online. Just type in 101 things for kids to do outside.
Do people know how to use Google? That's a handy tip.
I'm offering a service. I really am. Goodness me. We'll put it on the website, okay? That's done. All right, book chat. Finished.
God, it's got an end jingle too. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, I like that.
I've got a bit, what's his name? Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
Book chat, done. Great.
Fucking book chat. Fuck off. It's fucking finished. Good. I
Garden
that.
Nightmares.
Oh, that was a good release of tension.
Okay, nice. Good.
Feel good.
Smells like it.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.